So I want you to sit back and I want you to picture it. 2,000 years ago, Jews would have taken a trip several times a year, and they would have gone for 3 days, for sure, at least 3 days, sometimes four, depending on how slow they're going, and they would have been following a river valley. And they would have been going along this river valley. It would have been hot. It would have been close to about 40 degrees Celsius. And then right, they take a sharp right turn, and they start hoofing it up this really huge hill. And it's a real bear of a hill. They're grunting, they're sweating, they're kind of at it. And we know this really well because if you've been to the Priest River Valley and you've seen those hills there, right, you're hiking up that, that's kind of what it was like for them. And so they're going up this hill, and right as they're cresting the top of it, they get a breeze that hits in their face, and they look up on the horizon, and there it is. Right on the next ridge of hills there, right on the highest peak, miles away, is a gleaming and glittering temple. It's made out of marble, white marble that's shining, and it has gold trim all around it, and if the light hits it just right and it comes right at you, it can make your eyes squint. And it's unmistakable, and you have to be literally blind not to see it. And accounts of people that actually talked about this, and by the way, there are like accounts outside of the Bible where they talked about what it was like to travel to Jerusalem. And when they went up those hills and when they approached the city, they often described what that was like to see that temple. It was absolutely spectacular. And that is actually the picture that Jesus had in mind when in Matthew chapter 5, he said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." It cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and they do not put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everybody in the house. And that was as clear as day to them. Those of us who are in Christ are all that temple. Did you know the Bible actually refers to us as a temple? We actually house the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us, if you accept Christ, you are a living temple. And that church, that is the city on the hill. And the two together are to be a testimony that is to be the life and the light of Christ. And I'm telling you now, in the world today, it desperately needs that light and that life of Christ. The world is a dark place. If you have been watching the news, have any of you been watching the news? Just a quick show of hands. Anybody? Yeah. Okay, who here finds it really encouraging, uplifting, and overall positive? Yeah, it's been really quite brutal. You know, if you've been following what's been going with George Floyd, and you've been following the riots, I mean, it's pretty impossible to miss this. If you've been following what's going on with the coronavirus, which they never let us forget about, and they never stop talking about, and you never stop hearing about stories of increased government control and overall rules and things that make you quite upset. Even though there's a lot of different things going on in the news, there is one very simple message. The world is an unstable place, and it is really out of control. Now, Jesus tells us that we're not also just a light. He tells us also that you are the salt of the earth. And in the same breath that he tells us that command, he goes on to say that if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it ever be made salty again? If it is no longer salty, then it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Basically, just to be walked on. Now, I'm really excited about this Sunday. And it's going to be a little different than normal because usually you hear me talk for quite a while. But instead, I'm actually going to sit down in a short bit here and we're going to have people share their testimonies. I do this because this is actually very healthy in churches to do periodically. It's very important that people stand up and they share what God is doing. And they share how God has been shaping and changing them. And the reason this is good is because not only does it help people give practice in terms of learning how to share their faith, but it celebrates how God is living and working on a day-to-day basis in your life. And if you don't intentionally make time to do that, you tend to overlook the power of what God is doing in each and every one of us. Now, commonly when I do this in the church, I will encounter a lot of people that are willing to do this, and it's a very positive experience. Generally speaking, I really enjoy watching people sweat and stress out about speaking and all that sort of stuff. But sometimes I kind of bump into a different kind of a problem altogether, and I don't know if you've had this before. But there are some people that really, really, really want to get up and tell their story, and there are other people that absolutely would rather die than stand up and actually tell their story. Can you relate to that? Any of you? Yes, okay. So say nothing if it totally relates to you. There you go. You're the kind that doesn't want to be noticed, right? Commonly in churches, generally, that's the one that I could bump into to the most. And I'll run into some people when I do a testimony Sunday, and they'll get upset. A small group of people will get upset that they didn't get asked, and a larger group of people will get upset that they were asked. And the ones that are asked and are upset are generally worried that they don't know how to do it, that they'll be misunderstood. They're concerned about who will hear. They're worried about what people will think. They will worry about what they will say or what they won't say or how it will come across, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Both types of those people, ultimately, at the end of the day, have an underlying thing that's driving them, and that's a little bit of fear. And they're afraid for being seen for who they really are. If I'm going to let my light shine, my life had better be perfect, or I had better not be overlooked, either way. So how does salt become saltless? Does anybody know? We become saltless and we lose our ability to be salt when we think that we are the light, or if we don't think that we are light, we think that we own the light. When those people were cresting that hill and they had that breeze hit their face and they looked on the horizon and they saw that temple that was there glittering in the sun, not one of them thought that the power of that temple was in what was shining on the horizon, what they saw with their eyes. They knew that the power of what was in that temple was in the temple itself. That was the throne room of the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Savior who manifested himself in Christ, who lived and walked with us, who died, who did all of that. That is the power that's in the temple. The truth is that people are not drawn to you by yourself. They're drawn to who is living in you and working through you. Your imperfections, and yes, you have them, I have them, they only reveal the light more so as you walk with Christ. Now, you might find this a little surprising, but pastors sometimes feel a little bit of pressure to be above average or to be a little more on the perfect side. I don't know if you ever noticed that before. Pastors seem to kind of come across as having it all together. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We don't. Half the time we're all in a bad place too, and we're just as normal as anybody else. But being in a type of ministry where people are coming to you and asking you for advice, or they want to be taught, or they want to know what they should do, it can kind of put this kind of pressure on you to have a kind of professional polish. And if you're not careful, it can start to affect your ego. I'm going to tell you the advice that a teacher once told me that was really, really powerful and profound. He said, Clint, nobody ever comes to church to hear what you think. Nobody cares about your opinions. They come to church, they leave quarantine, they do all sorts of things, they will come, they will drive 45, 50 minutes away, they will do crazy amounts of stuff to come to church to hear a word from the Lord. And that's it. So get out of the way and let the Lord speak. Do your work, and when you're done, people will keep coming back because they're being fed by the Lord. That was great advice. People need the light of Christ. They need to be fed. They need to grow. They need to experience the life that comes through the light, and it comes through the salt of which you are as you follow him. So share that light that you have in your life generously, and that is what being salt is all about. As long as people live in this earth and they live in absolute, utter hopelessness, and the last things that they say before they die are things like, I can't breathe, why won't anyone love me, I need help, what's the truth? And there are lots of people that's the last words that they utter. They are living in darkness, and the light is needed. And that light is in you, so let it shine very simply. I'm going to get out of the way now, and I'm going to let some other people share how the light has been in their life and how God has challenged and changed them. Due to the fact that this is still phase one and that sort of thing, and for logistical purposes, for the fact that some people aren't coming to church because of feeling comfortable, we have pre-recorded them, and we have actually posted them on the channel as well too. So we will play those. But ideally, we would love to have people come up here, and next week we will also have a few more testimonies as well. So without further ado, we'll let them speak.